This is the Real Talk University podcast, where your hosts, Andre and Christian, explore success stories outside of the classroom.
What is going on, Real Talk fam? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Real Talk University podcast. Just wanted to apologize to you guys for taking some time off from doing the podcast. I know we haven't put out an episode in the last week or so. I was just busy with finals and holidays and whatnot, but we're happy to be back and killing it with these interviews. We've just gotten a lot of great feedback. And today we bring John Danes on the show for you guys, a serial entrepreneur based out of Nashville, Tennessee. He's on the younger side. I think he's just only 20 years old. And we're kind of shifting our focus with the show and the people that we bring on for interviews to younger guests that have had a lot of success in their young and early careers, just to inspire you guys, because I know a lot of you guys out there listening are younger as well, to show you what's possible at a young age. And John did a great job on the podcast, and what he does outside of the podcast is just amazing, especially for his age. So we're going to move into the three main takeaways before we let you jump into the actual interview. So the first takeaway from today's episode was to read more. It's that simple. Whether you care to admit it or not, you're not a master of your craft. There are people out there with more experience and success than you, and one or two of them just might have a book published. Set aside a block of time every single day to sit down and absorb all the knowledge they are generous enough to share with you and become better from it. Find a way to fall in love with the process of reading and learning, because it's so important to your personal growth as an entrepreneur or whatever you're taking part in. The second is to take yourself serious. So again, our main focus here is to help young professionals succeed in whatever they pursue in life, whether it be entrepreneurial or not. But taking yourself seriously at a young age is so important, especially as an entrepreneur in the service business, when you're acquiring clients such as restaurants or businesses that are already established and are run by people that are double, triple, four times the age that you are. So by taking yourself serious, you're showing other people that you know what you're good at, you know what you're talking about, and you're an expert of your craft. Therefore, they're going to trust you and want to work with you and want to actually pay you for what you do. So it's super important to take yourself serious. And the last one is to not be afraid to seek mentorship. We may stress this topic a lot on the show, but for a good reason, guys. The quickest way to find success and beat the learning curve is to find someone who has already done the work in their career, and that you can work for them for free to learn from years of their experience that they've got built up. The ROI of working for free for a period of time will be massive in the long run, as you'll come away from that experience primed to go off on your own and find massive success without the failures and the trials and errors that you might have not found out about unless you sought mentorship. So lots to learn in today's episode, guys. John, again, was an awesome guest, and we're super grateful that he took the time to come on the show. And we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and be on the lookout for episodes every Thursday, as always. We just had a little bump in the road these past few weeks, but we'll be putting them out every Thursday once again going forward. So enjoy, guys, and thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate your support and hope to continue to inspire you guys to achieve more. What's up, guys? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Real Talk University podcast. Today, we're sitting down with John Danes, an entrepreneur out of Nashville, Tennessee. John, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, us too. If you could just introduce yourself to the audience and to Christian and I, for those who might not be familiar with who you are and what you're currently up to.
Sweet. So, yeah, I'm a 20-year-old entrepreneur from Nashville, Tennessee. I am the founder of a digital marketing agency here called 99 Media, and I am also the host of a top 100 business podcast where I've interviewed people like Grant Cardone, Frank Kern, and a ton of other high-level guys in the space, and that's called the No Excuses Show. And, you know, above all, man, like, personally, I'm a avid learner and, you know, just a regular dude who's trying to, you know, achieve extraordinary things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're only 20, so I'm sure you get the question a lot, maybe from family or close friends, like, how do you manage all these different things, like a podcast and a media company and time to learn and time to do all these other things at such a young age?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just like, there's not much of a balance in your life. Like, really, 100% of my time goes to, you know, doing all this stuff. It's not like, And I know people don't want to hear this. There's not much of like a personal life. You know, it's just like you focus on one thing, and, you know, like the old acronym for focus. What's the word? Like follow one course until successful. That's what I'm doing. You know, I'm just like focused on, you know, exactly what we're trying to achieve, and all that other fun stuff can come down the line later. But there's really not a lot of balance in the world of entrepreneurship. It's something that I've definitely learned.
So how do you go about balancing your time? Because for Andre and I, he's just turned 20. I'm turning 20 in a few days. But how do you go about balancing your time, especially for kids like us who also have to balance like being a full-time college student?
Well, for me, it's a little different than you guys because, you know, I made the decision not to go to college. But I mean, you know, you obviously college comes first and it's super important, right? But like, you just have to prioritize, like, what's more important? Is it growing your business or is it hanging out with friends? Is it growing your business or going out and partying? You know, you just have to prioritize it. Like, I always say when somebody says they don't have enough time, that's 95% of the time, that's a lie. It's just they don't prioritize placing their time towards one thing more than they do, you know, placing it towards another thing, right? So like, if somebody says, hey, I'm in college, you know, I have no time to grow my business. Now that's, you know, like actually audit your time and say, hey, how much time did I actually spend working on my schoolwork this week? How much time did I actually spend going to class this week? And then you'll really see like, hey, I'm leaking a lot of time, either wasting time or going out with friends or doing all that stuff. And like, if you want to build a successful business and that's what you say you want, like that's the actionable advice to do that. But like a lot of people, they say they want one thing and then their actions say they want another thing. So like, it's totally fine to go out with your friends and party and have a good time. That's awesome if that's what you want to do. But if you want to build a successful business, and I know it sounds like hard, it just doesn't sound fun and it's not supposed to be fun. You know what I mean? Like you're just going to have to take time away from your personal life to build that business. So that would be my advice, you know, just like, allocate your time correctly, audit where you're spending your time, and don't ever make the excuse that you don't have enough time because odds are you probably do.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And before we go a little further into what you're currently working on with 99 Media and the podcasting world, I just want to go back to like your earlier years as an entrepreneur because I can relate to a lot of the things that you were working on, such as like the sneaker resale game. That's exactly how I got my start in entrepreneurship. So if you could just touch on that. And maybe share some stories on how that helped you transition to what you do now.
For sure, man. Yeah, dude. So I basically never did well in school. I always felt like I never needed a traditional education, and I have no idea why. I was always like a witty kid. I was always somebody that like a lot of people like, oh, John, he's so bright. But like, I didn't ever do well in school. I was always a people person, and like, entrepreneurship's changed that a little bit now, but like I was always the, you know, a fun person to be around, and like I was just a big talker, and I would, you know, make friends with anybody. So that's kind of my personality, how I was as a kid. I was actually, when I was a kid, really interested in politics, which is interesting. Not a lot of kids I feel like are interested in politics. That was my big thing that I was obsessed with when I was like in like elementary and like middle school. And then you know, all my friends all had these nice sneakers growing up, and my parents would never just buy me sneakers. And, you know, once I got into about 9th or 10th grade, I got a job. And then I started buying sneakers. And there was one time, I remember it super vividly, I went and camped out for this pair of shoes and camped out for like 8 or 9 hours. And got to the mall at like 3 a.m. And I bought this pair of shoes. It was the Fear of God Vans. It was the first pair that ever came out. Bought them for $100, flipped them on eBay a couple days later for over $1,000. And I was hooked. I was just like, okay, this is making me way more money than my job. I had got kicked out of school already at this point. So I was like not in school. Like I was homeschooled. That's a story for another day, but basically I never did well in school. Got expelled from high school. So I was just working. I was doing homeschool for like 4 hours a week. And then I was starting to get obsessed with the sneaker reselling game. So I started to buy shoes. And then I remember when I really got like obsessed with the game. I bought a couple pairs of shoes for a couple $100. I went to this store downtown and I got cashed out for $1,000. And I was just like, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm hooked on the game now. So I sold those Fear God Vans. I got a couple other shoes and flipped them. in downtown Nashville at this really ghetto spot, by the way. It was really funny. I think the place actually ended up getting shut down like a couple of years later. But yeah, it was in the hood and I was like alone. So that was an interesting time. But, you know, that's a story for a different day, I guess. So yeah, I just got hooked on the game. I was just like, okay, I'm making money. I'm selling stuff. I'm working for myself. This is awesome. And I'm in high school. Like, I, you know, I'm like living the dream here. So it's just like, I want to keep on doing this. So, you know, while I was doing that, that's when the market started to get really, really saturated. That's when like a lot of the Beluga Yeezys came out. I don't know if either of you guys, or one of you said you were a sneakerhead. So like, that's when the game started to get really, really crowded. Like people started to use bots. You couldn't really get sneakers like organically anymore. You couldn't just get them offline. So it just got really flooded out. So I quit doing that. And I actually, around the same time, got an opportunity to go work in Kansas City with one of my now mentors. His name's PJ, and he owns an e-commerce fulfillment company. And he was like, hey, man, you can come stay with me and work at my company, which was a super cool opportunity. It's a crazy story how it all kind of happened. But I went and started living with him and working with him at his company. And I wasn't getting paid a lot, but I was just like grinding. And it was actually good because I got removed from a pretty negative environment in Nashville. You know, I was hanging around some people, some bad people, doing some stuff I shouldn't have been doing. So I kind of like removed myself for a whole summer. I actually went down there. I remember like really vividly, I like shaved my head. I had like really long hair and I just like kind of straightened out. So I went down there, kind of straightened out. And I remember my mentor PJ was like, he was just a badass entrepreneur. And I was still going through high school at this point, but I was kind of getting nervous because I was approaching that time where like I should have been looking for colleges, but I wasn't, you know? And I was just like, I got to figure something out. So he was a computer programmer, dropped out of college and went on to build a bunch of super successful companies. And I was just like, man, I want to be like this guy. So, you know, he kind of started to take me under his wing and I started to learn all I could about entrepreneurship. And around that same time, one of the guys that worked for him is actually a DJ, and he asked me to manage his social media pro bono. I didn't get paid anything, but I just did it just to kind of get some experience because I was like, oh, this could be fun. So basically the exchange was like, I managed his social media and I could go to gigs with him. So I was like 17 and I was getting like to go to all these cool places and like, DJ with this guy basically. And all I had to do was manage his social media. So I was like, okay, this is awesome. Cause I didn't really know anybody my age in Kansas City. So that was like the fun that I got to have while I was in Kansas City. And so I started managing his social media and it went well. I was like doing pretty well for him. I wasn't running any ads, but I was just like posting content and I was able to get him some gigs and stuff. And I was like, man, maybe I could start like an advertising agency. And then that's when I jumped in, started 99 Media. And then now like a year and a half later, you know, everything's happened the way it has. It's been kind of crazy, but that's like the synopsis of everything. That's basically, that's my life basically in like a 5-minute summary.
That's awesome, bro. And yeah, I kind of had the same scenario in the sneaker game where like all these like little hypebeasts started to flood the market when the Yeezys were out and it just ruined the game and what everyone was in there for originally. But that's really cool. So if you could just talk about like the first steps you took to starting the agency. I know you mentioned you worked for free in the beginning, which is what we advise a lot of people to do. It just gives you the opportunity to like learn most especially and also to like prove your worth. So outside of just working for free, what are some things you did to build your agency into an actual company rather than just like a side gig, I guess?
Well, I mean, you have to do a ton of outreach. I think would be the number one thing that we did and that we still do. And I mean, just taking ourselves seriously. When you take yourself seriously, other people will. I know there's like a lot of people that are like, hey, you know, I'm so young. Is it okay if I'm going to business by myself? Will people take me seriously? The biggest thing is just like taking yourself seriously. That was one of the biggest things. And I think that more than anything, like more than just tactical advice and stuff like, oh, I did this or I did that or whatever, I think the biggest thing was just like hardening my mindset and becoming a better version of myself, which I'm still doing and I'm still working on. I think that's like the biggest business, the key to being successful in business, like at the end of the day. Because like, if you can't get out of bed on time or you can't work out or, you know, do whatever it is that you're trying to do, like you're not going to be able to have a successful business. Like building a successful company is like the hardest thing you can do in the world. So I think taking yourself seriously and just actually working like on yourself and becoming a better version of yourself is the number one thing you can do for your company to get taken more seriously, for you to make more money, for you to, you know, transition from a side hustle to a, you know, full-time position, is taking yourself seriously. So I think that's like where we had the most, you know, struggles and failures. Because like, I feel like people don't like to admit this, but innately I'm a lazy dude. Like, I was a guy that would just want to sit around and like watch TV and hang out and stay up till 4 a.m, you know, doing whatever. And so like, I think getting over that was the biggest barrier. And then, you know, once you've got over that and you're kind of free, you're free to just do, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you want to do with your life and you can grow your business. So I'd say that would be the biggest thing. That'd be the biggest piece of advice I'd give somebody.
I agree that taking yourself seriously is like really important, especially for young guys like us, because, you know, you get on the phone with a major, major business owner or something and they hear that you're 20 or 19 years old, they're going to be obviously less likely to want to work with you. But I feel like if you give off the vibe that you're willing to, like, you're serious about what you do, then they'll kind of follow along. So have you ever had a time where people or like a prospective client has been kind of skeptical of what you do because of your age and you've been able to prove them wrong?
No, honestly, no, never once has that happened. Because it's just like, it's about confidence and it's about your delivery. I've never even had people ask before. Like, nobody's ever been like, hey, how old are you? I was on a sales call with the guy the other day and I closed the guy and he was like, you know, I'm probably older than your dad, right? And I was like, yeah. Sorry. Like, I mean, I guess I'm just in an industry where it's like, we're in a pretty groundbreaking industry. So like, maybe if I was in, and I've heard people say, oh, if you're a real estate agent and you're 18, nobody's going to want to buy a house from you. I think all that's a load of BS. I think people's limiting beliefs will, you know, like, control their lives. And if you say, oh, nobody's going to want to do business with me, you'll specifically point out people that care about your age. But if you're just like, hey, if I can deliver a good service and I can help people make more money, it doesn't matter how old I am. You know what I mean? So I don't really have any crazy stories like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think especially in the market that we're in with marketing or whatnot, I feel like, you know, the older generation realizes that we have more experience with it than they do and that we're the experts, and it only helps to have the confidence. So I guess another question here is, like, what's one way that you, like, built your own confidence up? Because I feel like a lot of young people, especially like in college and high school, like with their friend groups and peer judgments, yeah, all that factor in. How do you build up your own confidence?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guy named Taylor Welch. I don't know if you heard of him. He owns a company called Traffic and Funnels. And they've grown into like a massive 8-figure company in 4 years. And he always talks about identity. And I think that your identity is a super important part of being successful that a lot of people don't talk about. So like, if you're hanging out with losers, you're obviously not going to be confident. Your identity is not going to line up if you say you want one thing and you do another thing. So, you know, like, I went through a hard time in my life and now I'm starting to really get over it. But it was just like, I said that I wanted all these things and then my actions completely said something else. So if I think the biggest thing is like, that's how you build your confidence, is you dial in your identity. If you're hanging around losers, you're going to identify with those people. That's going to be your identity of a loser. If you're hanging out with successful people, which it's not that hard to do. I don't understand why people are just like, oh, it's so hard to get around successful people. Like, stop making excuses, number one, and become more confident in your abilities. So whether it's train. There's this little quote from, this is a weird reference, but there's this quote from SpongeBob where Squidward tells this guy, you have no skills and you're a loser. And like, that's so many people that are wondering why they can't get to where they want to be, is because that's their reality. But it, like, and not in a mean way, that's how I was, but I made the decision to go change it. And I think that studying, training, getting around successful people, that's how you change and become confident. But obviously, like, you have to look at things like, if you're know that you want to be doing one thing and you're not doing it, of course you're not going to be confident. You know what I mean? So I'd say that's the biggest thing. Like, train hard, study hard, get around successful people, and just work your tail off, and you'll become really successful. Or not really confident, sorry.
No doubt. And I feel like major way we've been able to surround ourselves with power players is obviously through our podcast, because last October,
yeah,
I realized that kids on our college campus weren't really seeing like the bigger picture outside of just the classroom. So we decided to start the show doing some small interviews, which turned into people like Guy Kawasaki, Neil Patel, and guys like that. So how have you experienced like being able to network with the big names? Like, how has that made an impact on you with your own podcast?
It's everything, man. I was talking to a girl, like one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about just like leveraging your strengths and your, like, everybody has some competitive advantage. Like, both of you guys do something way better than me, and I probably do a couple things better than you guys. So it's like, whatever that is to get your way into circles and get your way into conversations that you wouldn't normally be able to get in, it's a game changer. So if it's a podcast, like, you guys got to talk to Neil Patel. Like, how cool is that? That guy's a legend. Like, and, you know, even though you might not be best buddies with him, like, he still knows who you guys are, right? So it's like any competitive advantage that you can have, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a YouTube channel, anything that you can do that's kind of your unique offering to the marketplace, will help you get into circles that you wouldn't normally get to be in. So like, that's everything. Whether it's, like I said, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a YouTube channel, whether it's some kind of skill that you have, you know, like, you have to have that, like, that factor to get into, you know, these circles that you want to get into. So I think a podcast is one of the fastest and the best ways to do it, but, you know, people do it differently, but yeah, it's everything.
Yeah. And I know you're into sales a lot. Obviously you had the opportunity, Grant and Frank, yeah. A lot of these other people. I was just wondering, it's kind of like a side note, if you watch the interview with Jordan Belfort and Grant Cardone.
Yeah, bro. I'm a big Jordan Belfort fan. Like, most of the my like principles and sales stuff, it's all like straight line stuff. I'm pretty good friends with Jordan's assistant. It's like, you know, I love Jordan's stuff. And like, I don't know, man. I think that literally with that whole interview, I think Grant would – have you ever gotten an argument with somebody and you know that you're wrong and you just say anything? Like, you could be like, hey, man, the sky is blue. And I would be like, no, dude, it's green. Like, you're just saying – even though you know you're wrong, you're just trying to be in disagreement because you're so mad at the person. I think that's what that podcast was, you know, more than anything. Like, you know, being super successful is normally not a must. Like – it's not a coincidence and it's not a mistake. So like, Grant didn't blow up and get all this big fame like by accident. So I think that that's more of what that was, because Grant's got some good stuff, man. Grant's helped a lot of salespeople. But like, I just think it was, he realized that he was wrong and his ego got in the way. And then he just started just spewing out nonsense. I think that would be the best way that I would explain that interview.
Yeah, no, that's probably the best explanation I've heard so far, because a lot of people are like discrediting Grant his entire career, even though, like you said, he's been doing this stuff for like 20, 30 plus years. So obviously he knows his shit, success leaves clues, all that kind of stuff. So I definitely think it was just more of like an egotistical thing.
That's all it was, man. It's just like, you know, you're wrong. And at this point, you're just like, okay, there's no time that I can stop being wrong. So I'm just going to keep saying whatever just to try to piss this guy off. I think that's more what it was, because I've studied a lot of Grant's material too. Grant, like, you know, Grant's a super cool guy. I got to interview him and stuff. So I'm actually looking at one of his books right now. Be Obsessed or Be Average is like really good book. It changed my life. So Grant's got some really good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you just mentioned a book, and I've been following you on social media and whatnot, and you've been definitely reading a lot more books than most people. So if you could just talk about that. And kind of why you're doing it, how you're doing it, and what you've kind of learned and taken away from the few books you've read.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys know Jeremy Haynes, but Jeremy Haynes, I like to follow people that are like really articulate and smart, and they speak well, and they're just well put together. And one key trait that you notice with all those people is they read books. Like, if you read a lot of books, you just become smarter and you become more knowledgeable. And I think that for somebody like me who didn't do well in school, I was always just like, oh, you know, maybe he's not like book smart, or he is not a smart person. But it's so fascinating that you can read books and you can instantly be smarter. you can instantly know new words. You can instantly like learn new skills. I think that books are mentors, and like, I don't know. First of all, I enjoy reading a lot of books. I like to prove to myself that I can do it. And, you know, it's just interesting to me. Like every book that I'm reading or listening to is super interesting and it's profound. And like every time I read a new book, I hit a new level. So, I mean, books are everything. And I hear the excuse like, oh, I hate reading or I don't enjoy reading. Like, I don't think many people truly, genuinely would rather, you know, read than watch a movie. Like, I don't think there's many, maybe there's some superhumans out there, but like, I feel like most people would rather sit down on the couch and watch a movie than they would read a book. But like, it's just better to read a book. You know, you learn more. It's interesting. It's fun. And once you get into it, you don't want to put it down. So I think that I've started to, you know, really enjoy reading. And I think that reading just makes you better. And anything that makes me better, I want to partake in.
No doubt about it. I mean, for me growing up, I would just, as a kid, like all summer, I would rip through like the whole Harry Potter series in one summer. And both my parents weren't like really great students in school. And I turned out to like get really good grades and things like that. So they always kind of wondered like where I got it from. And I always just attribute it to the massive amounts of reading I would do like every single day. Like honestly, reading can change how well you speak, how well you can write, all that stuff. So there's no doubt about it. What are some of the most critical books you think someone just getting into the space?
Because which
Ted Port Adam
books like that. I tell people like you need to read sales books. Like, I mean, 60% of billionaires started out in sales. Sales, like, and there's so many things that pop up that people are like, oh, well, it's this, or it's copywriting. Or you need to learn how to do this. All that stuff. Maybe copywriting is a bad example, but a lot of the niches and industries that people bring up, you know, like becoming an Instagram agent, like, you know, that stuff's all niche and it's all working out well right now, but who knows how much longer it's going to be around. Sales is a timeless thing. We're always going to need salespeople, and there's salespeople that make more money than doctors. So like, if you have every entrepreneur, I would say, you know, maybe there's a few weird exceptions, but like every entrepreneur that fails probably fails because they didn't sell enough stuff. Like, I think that would be a pretty fair, I think that'd be a pretty fair thing to say. Like, if you failed as an entrepreneur, and my grandfather did, he didn't sell enough stuff. So like, you know, he had a restaurant, went out of business. What? They didn't sell enough food. So like, sales is a timeless skill that if you can perfect and you can get good at, not only can you sell your product, but you can sell people to work for you. You can get people behind a movement. You can influence, you can persuade. So I think that people need to start with sales. Start to learn about sales. Brian Tracy's got some really good stuff. Jordan Belfort's got some good stuff. Grant's got some good stuff. There's some, you know, niche people out there that not a lot of people know about, but they're gangsters. Like Kevin Nations. He's not got a lot of content, but the stuff that is out there of his is spot on point. Sam Ovens has got some great stuff. So like, I would tell people to start with sales, because if you can't sell your product or your service, you don't have a business. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter, like, you can be the best in the industry. If you can't sell your product or sell your service, you're not going to have a company. So I'd say people need to start out with sales, start to learn how to influence or persuade, and also get their mindset right. That's the biggest thing. Like, I know people that go through courses or programs and they're like, yeah, I just skipped the first module. All it was mindset training. Like, if your mindset was right, you'd probably already be where you want to be. So that would be another thing is like, harden and craft your mindset, get into some of the stuff that like the Joe Dispenza stuff, and like listen to Ed Milet and like Jim Rohn, and listen to that personal development stuff and get your mindset right and start to focus on sales, and then everything else will fall into place. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I agree as well. Just the importance that you put on sales is, it just goes underestimated. I think it's more so because people shy away from it.
Because it's scary for people, man.
Yeah, especially like cold calling and all that kind of stuff. So
people are afraid of it, man. Like, it's not like if you're bad at it, if you're bad at anything that you're bad at, it's not fun. Like, I played football the other day, and you know, it wasn't the best time because I'm not good at it, man. Like, if I was a great football player, I'd be like, dude, let's go play football. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're bad at sales, you're gonna shy away from sales calls. But you know, the only way you can get better is if you keep doing it. So I agree. What you're saying, but sorry, I mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good, bro. You're good. I just want to kind of ask a more high-level question for people that might, you know, be running agencies right now or be doing sales right now. If you had maybe a few recommendations for, like, CRMs or any online tools you use to optimize your sales process, I guess.
Yeah. So there's a book right here next to me. It's called High Output Management by Andrew Grove. And basically, he ran Intel for years and years. And he said, anything that's not measured is basically not done. So we use Pipedrive. It doesn't matter. People get caught up on the whole software and, you know, all this stuff. It's just whatever you like. Whatever you like and whatever is easy to train your team on. But if you're not measuring everything, we have a ridiculously long pipeline in Pipedrive. There's like some kind of crazy number of people in there. But it's just like, at least we are tracking the actions. Like, at least we're looking, hey, here's when we messaged this person. Here's what we did. We sent them a Facebook message. Oh, we sent them a cold email. So you need to get a CRM. And like Trello, you can work. Trello will be a free option. Once you start to build a team, pay $15 a month for Pipedrive or HubSpot, you know, whatever you want to do. So don't get caught up on all the, like, the details and the semantics. Just measure the actions that you take. I would rather spend 4 hours messaging, 4 hours inputting data, than I would spend 8 hours messaging and track nothing. Because if you don't track and you don't follow up and you don't put systems in place to do that, you're going to lose more deals than you will close.
Yeah, I agree completely. Just having systems in place, regardless of the technicalities behind it, like you said, is definitely important. 100%. Yeah, because I think the thing is, when people, you know, weigh in on different software and stuff like that, it's more of procrastination than anything else.
Oh, literally, it's like, oh, I can't decide if I'm gonna do HubSpot or Pipedrive. So, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Just pick one, go with it, figure it out, and just start working. You know.
Facts. So before we get into the lightning round, we just want to ask one last question. That's kind of, where do you see yourself in 10 years if, like, everything works out ideally, I guess?
You know, I got to focus more on this kind of stuff because I am such an in-the-moment guy that I couldn't even answer that question for you, man. Because it's like, the reason that I think I shy away from stuff like that is this. If you would have told me my senior year in high school that I would be doing all the stuff that I'm doing, I probably would have looked at you and been like, dude, I don't know what you're smoking. Like, I wouldn't even be able to fathom it. So I think that a lot of the times when you say, hey, this is my 10-year goal or this is my 12-year plan, it's like you could grossly underestimate what you're able to accomplish in that period of time. So I definitely need to work more on this whole, like, 10-year and far out goals and visions. But it's just like, I don't want to underestimate, you know, my potential, because I've already achieved way more than I thought I would in a year, you know, than I would have expected. So I think that sometimes we can cap out our potential when we're goal setting.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I kind of agree with where your head's at, because I'm kind of the same way. It's like, more staying in the moment and focusing on, like, the inputs rather than the results and stuff like that. So I definitely agree with that.
Right. I mean, you have to have a vision. You have to, like, know, you know, like, have goals and stuff, or otherwise you won't get out of bed in the morning. But you know, sometimes you can definitely cap yourself. You can definitely do that.
For sure. So the first question of the lightning round is just if you have any questions for us before we move forward.
No, I think it's lightning round. Sounds pretty self-explanatory. You can ask me a bunch of questions, right?
All right, we'll get right into it then. We call it the lightning round, but a lot of people seem to struggle with the lightning aspect because they're kind of deep. But the first one is, if you could have dinner with any three people dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Okay. Dude, this is a good one. Elon Musk, probably Jesus, and John D. Rockefeller.
Damn, those are quick. The last two questions are more for, like, our older guests, but we'll still ask them because I think it still applies to where you are now. So if you were still in high school, like a high school student managing work or school and all that kind of stuff, what side hustle would you start and how would you go about starting it?
It's a good one. There wouldn't be a specific thing that I would start because it's all about your skills. I would start something that's service-based, that doesn't take a lot of money to get started, and then just work my butt off at it. So whether that's an agency, whether that's being a copywriter, but something that's service-based, low startup capital, work at it.
No doubt about it. Love that. And the last one is, what's one thing you know today that you wish you knew when you were 19? We'll switch it to 16 since you were
16. Okay. Your body and your mind are a unit. So like, you're going to have a shitty mindset if you have shitty habits and you have a shitty diet, you don't work out. So I tell myself, your body and your mind are a unit.
Yeah, that's dope. I've never really heard anyone say that, but like, if you think about it, it's so true. Because your mind responds to whatever your body tells it, really.
And it's all one, man.
That's dope. Well, appreciate you coming on the podcast, Sean. Hope you enjoyed the interview. I know a lot of people are going to get value out of all the stories and advice that you shared today. If you just want to plug your social media, I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to continue to follow your journey because you are very young and have a pretty bright future. So.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, you can just find me on Instagram at John Danes, JohnDanes. That's kind of the spot where I post everything and kind of show my life and all the different interesting things that I post. So yeah, that's where you can find me. Thank you guys for having me on. Great questions. Hope I was able to provide some value. Awesome to get connected with you guys. And thank you for the opportunity.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.